Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The Queen City Forward. On Tuesday, the public outreach efforts began from the State Department of Transportation. And to talk about that, we have Rich Fontana and Ryan Whalen. Fellas, welcome in.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Where's the tailgate?
We can go raid the fridge and the bistro. I'll tell you, we have some of the best moldy strawberries in Western New York right down the hall. Now, I know we're looking forward, fellas, but first we do have to start with the former project. And Rich, I believe it was you that gave the press conference, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we had the AI video of driving through the tunnel. Now we're going back to step one. What was the reasoning for starting over again?
Well, you know, sometimes it's you take a look at something and say, what will work in the future? And that's what we're trying to do. We're seeing what will work in the future. Of course, residents were concerned that if you built the tunnel, I think you heard Sherry talk about this a little bit ago, the road was going to be there for the next 75 years if you put that investment in. Therefore, residents got together and says, well, you know, we don't want to have this tunnel. So they fought it. Of course, made the decisions, and now we're where we're at, essentially. And before we jump into something, we want to really hear from the whole community, because a bigger environmental process is going to take in more people, more issues, more scenarios, and we're going to study those scenarios.
Now, you've heard the criticisms of the last public, whoever wants to answer this one, you've heard the criticisms of the last public outreach. What will be different this time for people who are attending this?
You know, consider, Joe, there's this group, the Restore Community Coalition, ROC, that has been working on trying to get a Kensington project done for not just years, but decades. And the DOT worked very closely with ROC to talk about this. And I don't think a lot of people realized at the time that a big project was in the pipeline or that they could be involved in it. So when we got toward this lawsuit, we had the opportunity to try to appeal it or to move right forward with an environmental impact study on the tunnel, but it became sort of abundantly clear, look, there's not the consensus that needs to happen in order to do a transformational project like that. And that's what the commissioner saw at a state level. So as we go back to this reset, as people are calling it, the idea is to really get everybody in on the front end, and we're talking about everybody, because we can't get down the line on a $1 billion project and then have people come in and say, oh, I didn't know this was happening, or I didn't know I could be involved, or I don't want this. So we're really trying to push people this time to come at the beginning in this community engagement part and come and tell us your opinions so that we have that all up front.
Now, we've heard the tunnel, obviously. We've heard the Bring Back Humboldt Parkway. What are some of the other ideas that are out there, if any?
Well, bringing back Humboldt Parkway, we fill it in. So we're going to study that. That's something we're going to study this time. And we did look at it last time as well, but there's going to be a more intense look at that. There's the leave it alone option for residents that want to keep the road the way it is, essentially. There might be other ideas out there. The necessity for this roadway really started when we needed to rebuild the walls. The walls and the infrastructure there are now from the 1950s and 60s, starting to near their lifespans over the last 100 years, and we're looking to rebuild. Maybe rebuild the walls a little differently. Maybe someone has an idea out there, and we're hoping people have ideas. Maybe build the walls so the top is bigger. Who knows? Like, there's ideas that could be out there. Maybe you move the whole road. Someone might have an idea to move the whole road and create a new connection to downtown. You just don't know. So we're asking people, what are your ideas? What are you looking at? And what would you like to see here to make the life of people that live around the road better?
I'm interested in hearing if people have other ideas, yes. Because this has been presented like it's a binary choice, right?
Right.
Tunnel or fill in. And it really doesn't have to be that. And that's what we're trying to push, because people are just looking at it as an either or. And that's not where we are as the Department of Transportation. So I'm interested to see if people come out with creative ideas, because we want to hear about all of those.
Now, answer me this, because, you know, my whole life living in Buffalo, moved to Buffalo in 99. My whole life has been we've heard about the Skyway and how the Skyway has to be removed. Now, I've never heard anything about the 33 project until a few years ago. And all of a sudden, it seems like wheels on the ground. We're going to do something different here. Is that because of the infrastructure issues that this is such a necessity, or is it more realistic to do something to the 33 than the Skyway?
Well, the Skyway, in my opinion, the Skyway needs to stay, because the Skyway performs a very integral function for downtown Buffalo and for Hamburg residents and downtown residents. Also gets people into downtown. I think the Skyway would need to stay. And also, removing the Skyway doesn't really pick you up a lot of land down on the waterfront. I mean, Canal Side would still be Canal Side. You still have all that land on Route 5 that's a wide open. So, and you still need a road to get to Route 5. So in my opinion, I always thought as an elected official, why are we picking on the Skyway so much? And I think that was a call to action over the 70s and 80s saying, oh, we need to do something. We need to get rid of this road. In reality, the road actually does serve as a function, and DOT has invested in that road. And a lot of younger people like the Skyway. They think it's an iconic roadway that they use to get to downtown. So I always thought blaming the Skyway for all our woes was a bad policy. And it turns out to be the fact. We were really blaming a road that we should not have been blaming. We should just build up downtown like we did. With the 33, with the tunnel, a tunnel option on the 33 when we were proposing it really didn't remove the traffic. It just kept traffic flowing, didn't mess up the city of Buffalo at all. But I would think that the necessity came from those walls. The walls over the years have now been looking to be rebuilt. And as we rebuild those walls, we said, well, we could either rebuild in kind and keep it the way it is, or we could do something different. And that's as Ryan mentioned, Ms. Stephanie Jeter was pushing the tunnel for many years, and that's when we started to look at it.
Yeah, I think you really kind of hit the nail on the head there, because it was almost like a niche project, right? For because that Restore Our Communities Coalition really was passionate and worked hard on this for years, and I don't know if other people knew that there was an opportunity to have a voice in this, or that the project was even going to be a project. It was this passionate group of people that lived over there, but it wasn't the only voice. So now we're saying, Restore Our Community Coalition, you are a loud, important voice. Eastside Parkways Coalition, you are a loud, important voice. But we can't just have those two voices overpower everything. So we're really trying to tell people, you guys are allowed to come in here too. You don't have to be one group or the other.
It's funny, the Humboldt Parkway, I heard a lot about it in my History of Buffalo class at Madai College, and then nothing until, you know, the last few years, obviously, a lot of people have brought it up. Now, when you're looking at this, obviously, the public outreach, that's what this is all about, getting people to come to this meeting, and we'll talk more about the meeting. But other factors that play into this, right? You know, North Town's getting to downtown Buffalo. How do you add all those factors together?
You know, I hear people talking about, well, why don't we just move to the EIS, right? Why don't we just move forward? But you have to remember, the project that we were looking for before the lawsuit was a tunnel. So if we look at a fill-in and restore Humboldt Parkway, there's a lot of study that needs to happen. And it's the things that you bring up. The traffic patterns didn't really change with a tunnel. If you fill in, the traffic patterns are going to change, and it's going to affect a lot of different arteries in Buffalo. You talked about going to the 190 and how it might take you a little longer coming from Clarence. I was listening to you, and I was thinking, well, it might not just take you a little longer because you're going out of your way, but how many more cars are going to be on the 190 now? Now, I'm not the person who studies this, so that's why we're doing this comprehensive traffic study, to really look at all that. But we have to look at it, and those are things that weren't part of the last project.
And if the road's not there also, you might have a lot more traffic on the arterials. Even people that support the project say, you have a lot more traffic on the arterials. That means, like, if you live in Schiller Park, or if you live in any neighborhood, University District, coming through those areas now, Main Street, Genesee Street, anything, Clinton Street, there should be a lot more traffic on those streets if the 33 was not there. I think those residents and those parents should have an opportunity to speak up and say, look, you're going to turn the neighborhoods into a speedway in the morning. maybe my kids don't want to cross these roads anymore. So they should have a voice. So filling it in does create a situation where many more people want to have a voice in the project, and those voices need to be heard.
I want to be clear, though, Joe, because I've seen some people say that DOT wants to maintain vehicular capacity or something like that. And for the time I've been here, I've never heard us say that. We're not saying a fill-in can't happen. We're not trying to push people one way or the other, but we are saying it needs to be studied because it hasn't yet.
Yeah, because I think of that point of extra cars on resident. I thought I used to live off of Parkside when I lived in the city, and I already think there's too many cars on Parkside. I couldn't imagine putting more cars without a 198, without a 33. I mean, that road would be impassable. You'd have to give yourself an hour to get downtown from the city of Buffalo.
And think about when we say a comprehensive traffic study, we're not just talking about time.
Right.
We're talking about how do emergency vehicles get to ECMC? What's the pollution of idling cars running through a parkway through the city? Safety concerns. Now, nobody's crossing the Kensington Expressway. If that becomes a parkway and people and children are crossing, what are the safety aspects of it? That's what a comprehensive traffic study entails, looking at the arteries, looking at safety, looking at emergency vehicles, looking at pollution, all those things that happen when you move vehicles around.
And it's easy to say fill it in, but when you show residents the entire package of what this entails, then they have a better opportunity to make a better decision or a decision that's based on more facts.
Now, obviously, this is the 33 project, but what goes off the 33 is the 198, and we heard a lot about that. I remember when Brian Higgins was in Congress, he and Sean Ryan wanted to completely get rid of the 198. Does what happens to the 33 affect?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
That 198 project.
Of course.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's a flow of traffic. Where would you cut off the 33? Where would it end? Would it end on Fillmore? Would it end somewhere else? That's all has to be studied. Does removing the 33 create a situation where the 198 is more needed? Was that where the traffic would go at the end of the 33? Like it would just veer off instead of going the one way towards the Science Museum, would it just veer off towards the 198 and that create more traffic in Parkside? Those are all things that need to be discussed and studied. We've made the decision that the 33 decisions have to be done first, and then we're committing to doing the 198 as far as a project. As we said in our press conference, it's the order of things. We were supposed to be under construction right now with the 33. Best Street would have been half completed. We would have started work on the tunnel this year, and it was a go-funded project. It's been stopped, and then it kind of pushed back everything else.
We would have been studying Skagit this year, but we need to know what's happening with the Kensington before we move to the Skagit. But it's kind of a two-part question because we are looking at Skagit, especially when we do that traffic study, because whatever happens with Kensington Expressway is going to affect what happens with 198. Another thing that we've seen is people basically said Skagit is shovel ready. Why aren't we doing that? And that's a misunderstanding of where we were at. GBNRTC did a thoughtful, careful, important study about what it would be to remove the Skagit Expressway, right? But it was not a finished study. There was a lot of things that still needed to happen on the Department of Transportation end to get where we needed to be. And that what happened with Kensington was part of that, right? So now that we've reset, I know that people don't like to wait, But when you're talking about a transformational project, when you're talking about $1 billion and then moving to Skajakwita, we do need to take our time and be careful with this.
Now, you know, the governor came to make the announcement, right? We remember there were a few protesters and all. You know, how do elected officials play into this this process? Will there be, you know, members of the Assembly, of the State Senate at these outreaches? Because we've heard certain members very vocal on wanting the tunnel. I mean, one's in Congress now, on wanting the tunnel. How does that factor into all this?
Well, you have to actually hand it to them, you know, for Christopher Peoples-Stokes to be able to carry this football over the goal line, no pun intended today, but she really did quite a job in getting the funding put together with the governor and getting everybody on board, so as far as what the project goes. So it's been strong. The level of support for projects on the east side have been strong. I think residents are going to be speaking now. Elected officials listen when people speak. And I don't know if they'll be there specifically, but they're going to be listening in on what people are saying. Everyone is welcome to come, so everyone elected is welcome to come to the meetings and hear from the public. But the comments are going to be written. We're not going to have like an open mic session when people just start talking all night and everyone has to listen to each other. That's a waste of everyone's time, essentially. We want to be able to come in, see some of the information that we have out there for you, look at the roadways, get familiar with the roadways, and then give us your comments. They could be written. You could speak them out to us, and we'll type them down for you if you want to. We're going to have all kinds of language interpreters there, so this is open to everybody. And any type of situation, maybe you're a new American coming to the country and you want to make an opinion, feel free to come to the meeting. Maybe you're 85 years old, you want us to come to you, we'll come to you as well. So anything that we need to do to have your comments written or typed in, we'll do for you.
So, all right, on Tuesday, say I arrive at Schiller Park Senior Center, 5 p.m., what's the process to get my voice heard at the meeting?
So you're going to walk in the door, and you don't have to be there at 5 p.m. because it's an open house style, so anytime between 5 and 7 you can come. We're going to have a short video playing. You can go watch it. Just sort of gives an idea of what we're thinking Queen City Forward is. And then we really want to know what you think Queen City Forward is. So we'll have displays, but they are not leading you or telling you what a project is. They are. We're trying to prompt what's important to you. So we'll have boards mm-hmm. that ask, where do you live? Where do you go? How do you use the Kensington Expressway? What are the important factors to you? You know, how does the environmental impacts that we talked about, how do those affect you? We'll have a big roll plot so you can look at it, see where you live. But really, this is about direct communication with the Department of Transportation. So we will have staff at every board. You can come and tell them what you want. If you want to come and just, you know, talk, if you want to yell at me a little bit because you're frustrated, come. I'll be there. You can come and yell at me a little bit. I hope we'll smile through it. But this is an opportunity to talk to us. We need to hear from people. So,
and we picked the location because it's a nice parking lot there. It's on a bus route. It's on Genesee Street, essentially. Someone asked, why aren't we in the Humboldt Parkway neighborhood? Be honest with you, this is like a better location because of the parking. It's on the bus route, and it's like, I think it's within a mile of the roadway anyways, maybe a mile and a half at the most. And it's a nice big open floor plan. And it was available that night, so we were able to get the building. So people are wondering why we're certain places. We're going to be looking at other locations very close by as well for future meetings. And then we'll be out across the region as well as letting people discuss this. We wanted to start, of course, in the city because that's where the people live and are affected by the roadway. And we wanted to make sure that we started in the city of Buffalo.
The inner loop in Rochester comes up a lot sure. When talking about this. Was that a DOT project?
It was. It was okay. You know, early mid 2000s, early 10s, very successful. But that was a roadway that carried much less traffic. It was removed. It actually built upon. If you look at Rochester, there's a large section of the city of Rochester that was built upon this roadway. Very, very successful. So when people talk about that road being successfully removed, they're right. That's been a boon for Rochester, but very much less traffic. I think you had less than 15,000 cars a day on that roadway. Kensington is upwards of, we say 75. Some people may say even 65, whatever it is, but it's a lot more. DOT removed a roadway in Niagara Falls, the Viaduct project, where we put the traffic onto, what is that, Buffalo Avenue there? And very, very successful project. And it made the Niagara Falls area look much nicer. But once again, very few cars. And what's left there works. Removing the Kensington, we're going to study it, we're going to look at it, we're going to show people what it entails, and then I think that's what people are asking for. They're saying, I've heard residents along Humboldt saying, well, at least study it, let us know what it means, and that's what we're going to give a good faith effort to do, and we're listening to the people. We're going to study what it means to remove the Kensington.
I think you look across the state, and there's either been these giant transportation projects, or they're looking at projects anywhere you go in New York. but they're, none of them are one-to-one comparisons. None of them are exactly the same. So I think it's great to look at all of them. I think looking at what happened with I-81 in Syracuse, where they actually were sort of split at the beginning and did get some consensus, is a great project to look at. But that's different than the Kensington Expressway, too. We're able to look at these projects, and I think that's important, but none of them are exactly the same. You know, Buffalo has its own regional flavor, just like every other place in New York does.
Here's a question I was thinking about on the drive-in. You know, the tunnel project that was the first one, I mean, the road still went, it didn't really affect the 33, the traffic was still going. Humboldt Parkway would still end up downtown, right? If you took that, you would end up. Does the final project have to end up downtown? You know, does the path that it creates have to at least still be some kind of an artery?
Are you saying maybe move a highway but bring it around the city or something like that? Or?
Does whatever's remaining, right, have to be some type of roadway that would end up downtown? Because if you think about it, you completely take away the 33. You really only have those two from the north towns. Obviously, you have the Skyway, two arteries to get into downtown Buffalo, and one's Main Street, and we all know the issues with Main Street.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like Joe Beamer might have some good ideas that he can come and share with DOT at Schiller Park on Tuesday. It doesn't have to be anything, because like we said, we want people to come out with ideas. So if you have something interesting that we haven't heard yet, definitely come out there.
I mean, we'll look at it, too. I mean, look, if the 33 was to be removed and it ends up on Fillmore, we have to study what that does to Fillmore Avenue. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. We don't know. We have to look at it. So just the ideas work. I think it would have to create a street grid pattern that would look like it would work. We are laid out by Olmsted and such and by others that really made the street pattern, Joseph Ellicott pattern, essentially what we have. And I was actually asked to remove a section of roadway in front of the downtown courthouse when the county was building the courthouse. And I refused to remove it because I said, no, it's part of the Ellicott plan. We're going to keep that road in. It's the road right in front of the county family court. I actually refused to remove it. They wanted to create a plaza there. I said, we don't need a plaza in front of a family courthouse building. We don't need that. We're going to keep the road. And we did. And it actually works much better now that we kept that road in there.
Now, again, this is Tuesday, 5 to 7. Will there be more meetings? This is the first of how many?
I'd say, well, we don't know the exact number because I don't want to commit to a number, but you know, I'm definitely close. I'd say anywhere between, upwards of near 10, I would say. You know, I would say that I'd be lucky to see. Hopefully we do anywhere between 5 and 10 meetings across the area, and I would think it might be more. We'll see. That's up to the powers to be, but we're being asked to formulate these meetings. We have a second one planned. We'll be making that announcement very soon, and it'll be announced at the meeting that we have coming up, so the residents will know where we're going to be. We also have a website, Ryan. You want to tell them about the website and how to find out about future meetings?
We will have a website, and that will be announced soon.
Yep.
Do you have a date you want to have a plan? Like, is there a date that you want to have a plan submitted in?
We're aiming for late next year to start the EIS project. Okay. And once the EIS formally starts, it has to be done within a 2-year period. And it'll probably take that entire 2 years. So we're kind of on a 3 to 4 year track here. And we're at the starting line, not the finish line.
And out of respect to all the powers to be at the federal government as well, they'll classify it as an EIS potentially. We'll see what they classify this as. There's other words that they use. Sometimes we say EIS and it's always consumed to be an EIS, but the federal government might call it an NEIS. You never know what they're going to call it. So just out of respect to them, they do make the classification at that point.
Does the court directive have any play over the new plan? Or is this pretty much throughout any kind of legal holdup?
I mean, I'm sure there's something that the lawyers know that we don't know at this point, but say we were to start a tunnel situation tomorrow, I think that would go into quite a fast, effective court situation, you know, saying that you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. On something new, though, I think we would just follow the pathway of what the court suggested.
Yeah. The judge said if there's going to be a project, there needs to be an environmental impact statement process. Yeah. So we are looking for a project, so we're following that process.
Yeah.
Final question. I only have a minute till I have to break. The NFTA Metro Rail expansion. Anything you guys can say in 1 minute about it?
Well, just residents along the boulevard would have to have their say, of course. That would take put a lot of infrastructure in the middle of the road. It would create, in my opinion, two lanes in each direction. And on the boulevard, that's what we used to have back in the day, and then it was expanded to 3 lanes. So I'm sure residents would have to talk about how that would affect their daily commute, how they would get home, if they would use that roadway, and again, with the essentially the train in the middle. So it's up to the residents of the area to discuss what they want to talk about, and also users of the roadway.
Rich Fontana, Ryan Whalen, thank you guys for taking time out of your Sunday. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Go Bills.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.